The mark of a healthy spiritual relationship with God is a person who refuses to live in the past but lives in the present. He never has to say, or she never has to say, I remember many years ago I was so close to the Lord. It was so wonderful way back then. Okay, cool. What about now? What about today? What's God doing in your life this week, this moment? It's the same with a relationship in marriage. A healthy marriage relationship isn't a couple who looks back to a time where it was really great and they were close to God and God was moving and controlling. It's in the present tense.
Do you sit back and reflect on the glory years of your marriage? A healthy relationship with God and your family cannot survive, let alone thrive, on the past alone. Today on The Connection, Skip Heissig shows us that our relationships need a little something from God to keep them functioning properly.
Before we begin our study, we have a resource that will help you explore the vast treasures of the Bible. You'll receive Skip Heitzig's Deep and Wide Teaching Collection, which includes 500 messages covering a range of topics from the foundations of the Christian faith to marriage and family. Find this resource at connectiononline.org/offers.
Now, mark your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 5 as Skip gets into today's study.
This is a can of oil. This can save your life. Now, it's just normal motor oil, but it's the lifeblood of your engine. I called a friend this week, and he told me a story about this dune buggy that he had. He put it together, and he had to rebuild the transaxle. It's the part that transfers the power from the engine to the wheels. And he had it rebuilt, put it back on, and forgot to put oil in it. So he took it out and he ran it and he heard that strange grinding noise and the part froze because there was no oil. And while I'm thinking as he's telling me the story how lame that is, he quickly diverts to another story of his friend who had a Chevy Blazer and he just neglected to periodically check the oil. So that eventually the oil became at such a critical level that the engine froze on the freeway and dropped to the ground. That's what I mean when I say this little can of oil can save your life. Because engines have so many finely machined parts that fit so intricately together that could get stuck or break or wiggle loose. They need the viscosity of oil to permeate it so that all those parts can move smoothly and the engine can be an efficient one. Well, relationships are just like that. Relationships need lubrication, and the more people in your family, the more lubrication you need. If you have a single couple without children, you have two relationships. What I mean is you have the relationship he has with his wife and the relationship she has with her husband. You add a child to the mix, you now have six relationships. The one he has with her, the one she has with him, the one dad has with the child, the one mom has with the child, the one the child has with dad, the one the child has with mom. That's six. You add another child to the mix, you have 12 relationships. It's a lot of parts. We have some couples in our fellowship who have seven children. That's a lot of parts. And you need lots of oil for that. Does your relationship sound, what do they sound like? Are they whoosh, 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 or are they running smoothly? Do you need a tune-up? You ever see one of these? It's an owner's manual. I know you all have them in your cars. But do you ever read one? That's a different story. Do you like to read manuals? I don't like reading them. I like somebody just telling me how something works. Good, got it. But it's good from time to time at least to consult the owner's manual to figure out how this automobile, this complex machine with so many parts, is to run smoothly. This is an owner's manual. Ever read it? This is the owner's manual for what makes human beings tick and what makes relationships fulfilling. It is God's owner's manual for us. I was amused to read what a 9-year-old boy named Craig said when he and a group of other kids were asked the question, what would you do on a first date that's turning sour? Craig said, I'd run home and play dead. The next day, I'd call all the newspapers and make sure they wrote about me in all the dead columns. There's an awful lot of people who do that in their marriages. They want to run somewhere and play dead and not resolve it, not work through it, not add the lubrication that is necessary. In fact, they'll pull out parts of the Bible and they'll hammer it at each other. Submit, woman. That's what it says in the Bible. Funny how many men only know that one verse. And she might say, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul shows the various parts of the family machine. It is as if he lifts up the hood on the home, reaches in and pulls out all the various components and displays them and shows how they work together, and then he puts them back. And he does that, showing the components, beginning in verse 22 all the way down to chapter 6, verse 4. But first, he talks about the lubrication, the elements in a relationship that add viscosity, that add that smooth, efficient running of that family engine. Now, I have noticed that many people, books, pastors begin a study in Ephesians 5 on the family with verse 22 that says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And they will say that's the beginning of Paul's section on the family. That is both unfair relationally and out of context theologically. We really need to back up to the first time the word submit is used in the section, which is in the previous verse, submitting to one another in the fear of God. In fact, we actually have to back up further to get the flow of the thought. The thought begins in verse 18. Grammatically, that's where the thought begins, because in verse 18, Paul gives two imperatives, a negative and a positive, followed by four participles, speaking, singing, thinking, submitting. All of those are tied to the cornerstone thought in verse 18, and all of this provides lubrication for relationships. Let's read verse 18 to verse 21, and then we'll comment on it. Paul says, and do not be drunk with wine, that's an imperative, in which is dissipation, but be filled, another imperative, with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. I want you to look first of all at verse 18. We're going to camp on that first because that's the engine. This is the engine of control. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, obviously, Paul is speaking to the church. He's speaking to Christians, those who have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. And let me just say that the theme of this book, if I were to put it in a brief kind of a summation for you, the theme of Ephesians is a new society called Christianity and how this new society called Christianity fits, works in a fallen world. Paul first speaks theologically in the book, then Paul speaks practically in the rest of the book. That's sort of his style. In chapter 1, he says, we're in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In verse 5, he puts us back down to earth. And the first concern of being back down to earth after all the theological stuff is the family. Why? Simply because if your Christianity doesn't work at home, don't export it. That's the microcosm of life. So the first concern of practicality is that of the home. It's interesting, we were talking about the family this week at our staff pastors meeting on Tuesdays, and one of my assistants told me that there's a guy that I guess comes to fellowship here, but is finding out that we're doing a series on the family, and he said, I'm not coming to church while they're doing that series, because I know what the Bible says about it, so I'm just going to wait till after it's done, then I'll return. Now, what kind of Christianity is that? when you're saying, I know what the Bible says, but I don't want to hear it. You see, it all begins with control. Who's controlling your life? Who's controlling your home? Who are you yielding to? Is it the Holy Spirit that's in control? Or are you trying to vie for control? Somebody wisely once said that unless there is that which is above us, we will soon yield to that which is around us. And that's where this verse comes in, where Paul says, and be filled with the Spirit. So the first step in the home, be a Christian, be submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first step. Now, you might have a counter question to that, and you might say, well, no, wait a minute, Skip. You talk about being a Christian. He's speaking to Christians, be filled with the Spirit. Why is it, Skip, then, that so many Christian marriages are in trouble? Why do we see them falling apart all around us? And this is the point. Because though every Christian has the Holy Spirit living inside of him or her, not every Christian is under the domination, the control of the Holy Spirit. Listen, a disobedient believer is going to have trouble in his family life as well as his personal life. So we begin here, be filled with the Spirit. Now notice it's a negative and positive command, and this has confused a lot of people. Why would Paul says, don't get drunk, but be filled with the Spirit? Don't be drunk with wine, negative imperative, but be filled with the Spirit. Because on the surface, superficially, there is a similarity between the two. There is a similarity, but then there are many contrasts. Let me explain. When somebody drinks alcohol, especially when somebody drinks a lot of alcohol, we describe that person as being under the influence. They're controlled by the alcohol. They will say things they normally wouldn't say in real life on a normal day.
I love you. I really love you.
I haven't heard that for years. When a person is filled with the Spirit, it can be said he is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And that's where the similarity ends and the contrast now begins. And probably what Paul was doing for the Ephesians is making a contrast with a cult worship called the worship of Dionysus in Ephesus, where people would get together and they would dance and they would drink and they would have orgies because they believed that intoxication led to inspiration. And he's saying, don't be like that in your worship, in your lifestyle. He's contrasting this wild, lascivious action of somebody under the influence of alcohol versus this sweet and edifying action of one controlled by the Holy Spirit. He says in that verse, be filled with the Spirit. Now, we don't have to think hard to figure out what filled means. We can think of a glass and you pour water into it till it's to the brim. And we would say that is filled. The Greek word pleirao means to fill to the brim. But it is used throughout the scriptures and in ancient Greek writings for other things. For instance, wind was said to fill the sails of a ship in order to bring it to its destination, to guide it. Salt was said to fill or permeate the meat in order to preserve it. And it's also the word that was used often for controlling, like an emotion controlling a person. In John chapter 16, Jesus says to his disciples after he tells them he's going to die on the cross, he says, because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled, pleirao, filled your hearts. You are controlled by the emotion of sorrow. So then, to be filled with the Spirit is where the Holy Spirit takes a hold of your life. He permeates your life. He is in control of your life. That's where we begin when we talk about the home in Ephesians 5. Let the Holy Spirit permeate and control your life. I think that perhaps one of the best ways to look at the filling of the Holy Spirit is like not water filling a glass as much as a hand filling a glove. A glove is useful, but it's powerless. It needs the hand to fill it and thus control it. And so a hand would never say to a glove, come on, you bum, get up and work. It can't. It has no power on its own. It requires a hand to fill the glove so that it can operate. And so in a marriage, Don't be filled or controlled by anything else except the Holy Spirit. Don't be filled with rage. Don't be filled with lust. Don't be filled with fear. Don't be filled with greed. Don't be filled with anger. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to be a little more precise because in the next couple weeks, we're going to look next week at wives submitting to their husbands and then husbands loving their wives the following week. So I want to be a little more precise on this, and I want to tell you four more things about this grammatically. Please bear with me, but it's very important. Number one, this is, as I said, in the imperative mood. That means it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. It's essential. It's as if Paul is saying, the Lord commands you, be filled with the Spirit. Now, why is that important? This is why it's important, because you can get all the counseling you want. You can read all the marriage books you want and go to all the seminars you want and get all the tapes you want, but until you obey the Lord's command to relinquish control to Him, it's all in vain. Begins by obeying Him. This is a command. Number two, it's in the plural form. Paul is writing to all of the Christians at Ephesus, the whole Christian community. That's important. Because the filling of the Holy Spirit, personally and in the family, isn't just for a pastor or an elder. Well, you're the pastor. You're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit in your family. Well, we all are. It's in the plural form. Number three, it's in the passive voice. In other words, it could be translated, allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. This tells me that the filling of the Holy Spirit isn't a mantra. It's not a technique. It's an allowance. It's where we allow the Holy Spirit to assume control, have the pink slip, run our lives, run our marriages. How do we do that? We do it by getting rid of anything that would hinder that control. Anything that's in the way of allowing the Holy Spirit to control. Whatever would grieve Him, get rid of it to allow the Spirit to fill you like the hand fills the glove. And number four, it is in the present tense. Now listen carefully. It's in the present tense. It's a present imperative. The Greek language has two kinds of imperatives. I don't want to give you a language lesson, and I wouldn't do it unless it was vital. There is, number one, an aorist imperative that implies a single completed action. Then there is the present imperative that speaks of an ongoing continual action. Jesus, at the marriage supper of Canaan, gave a command. He said, fill the jars of water. That's an aorist imperative. He means fill them once, not fill them over and over, and just keep filling them all day, all year long. Fill them once, it's done. But here it's present imperative. Be filled and be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing action. And here's my point. The mark of a healthy spiritual relationship with God is a person who refuses to live in the past but lives in the present. He never has to say, or she never has to say, I remember many years ago I was so close to the Lord. It was so wonderful way back then. Okay, cool. What about now? What about today? What's God doing in your life this week, this moment? It's the same with a relationship in marriage. A healthy marriage relationship isn't a couple who looks back to a time where it was really great and they were close to God and God was moving and controlling. It's in the present tense. Imagine this. It's from the Associated Press, Glasgow, Kentucky. Leslie Puckett, after struggling to start his car, lifted the hood and discovered someone had stolen the motor. Your marriage needs a motor. It needs an engine. And the engine, according to Paul, before we even get into wives submitting and husbands loving, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the motor. That's the engine. Now let's look at the gears, the components. The gears of spirituality, verse 19, first participle begins, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice something. All of these activities that are mentioned, all of them are spiritual in nature. Why? Because that's the result of the Holy Spirit controlling a life. If the Holy Spirit controls a life, the focus of the person's life is going to be spiritual focus, not a fleshly focus, a spiritual focus. The first gear I call relational edification, because look how he words it, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, I don't think that means that we actually have to stand in front of each other and talk to each other in chants. Hello, honey, how are you? Fine, how are you? We don't have, that's not the idea. The context is a church context. Remember, this new community of believers. And the context is worship. Because when Christians get together, they love to sing. And the ancient church would often sing antiphonally, responsively. One would sing a part, the other would sing another part, and they would hear each other and sing to one another. Because the natural result of lives filled with the Spirit when they get together is to exchange the songs, the joy. And you know, if the Holy Spirit of God is controlling a husband and a wife, a family, there's going to be joy that permeates that home. He puts a song there. You may just want to ask a question. We'll move on. But ask this question. What kind of music fills your home? Is it Christ-centered? Is it edifying? And just for fun, here's an exercise you might want to try. When you gather together at the family meal and say grace, don't say words. Sing a song. Try that. Try sitting at the table and change it up a little bit. Instead of saying, oh, God bless his food, just sing a psalm of worship. Eyes open in the presence of one another. I found an article that's interesting. It sort of goes along with this. The Detroit Free Press has an article called The Remedy for a Prune Face. I just love the title. It says, ladies, do you want to stay young? Of course, this would go for anyone. Then join a church choir. Women who sing stay younger looking. A singer's cheek muscles are so well developed by exercise that her face will not wrinkle as soon as the non-singer. Now, I am not advocating that just sing to one another so you'll stay young. But there is an attitude of heart, a joy, especially in a family where there is song. Then let's go on with that same verse. There's personal gratification, for it says singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, if you're not a musical person, you are comforted by that verse. You're going, whew, I don't have to sing, man. I'm off the hook. Because it's inward, isn't it? One of the first evidences, and you've found this to be true, of the filling of the Holy Spirit in a person's life after they become a Christian is a sense of inner peace, inner contentment, inner joy. It's like, wow.
Take some time to seek God and discover ways you can make Him an active and joyful part of your family. Now, we want to help you build up your Bible knowledge this summer. So here's a resource we've made available just for you.
Here's an offer of 500 teachings by Skip Heitzig for you to have a summer Bible binge, and we need it.
You have an edge when you know the Bible, when you know the truth. Why? Because you know Satan's strategies. You're aware of them. You won't be victimized by your feelings when you're being tempted. God's truth, His promises, are your armor and protection.
Get ready to dive into a summer Bible binge and experience God's Word like never before. For a donation of any amount, you'll receive Deep and Wide, a collection of 500 teachings given by Skip, taken from 31 complete series. The collection comes on a set of 8 CDs and can be played on an MP3 device or downloaded to your computer. Grow deeper in your relationship with God as you immerse yourself in His Word. Order today by calling 800-922-1888 or visit connectiononline.org/offers.
We often hear reports of transformed lives and growing believers. One Connection listener said, "I'm a pastor and I also drive a truck. The Connection helps me stay plugged in while I'm on the road." If the teachings of Skip Heitzig have encouraged you, would you consider becoming a financial partner of The Connection? Simply visit connectiononline.org/give or call 800-922-1888 to make a one-time or regular monthly gift.
Here's a great way you can stay caught up with Skip's teachings. At oneplace.com, listen to his latest broadcast and catch up on the ones you've missed. You'll also find many devotionals and articles from Skip that will encourage you and give you insight into God's Word. Find these resources at oneplace.com. Next week, Skip talks more about how the Holy Spirit can be the oil in the machine of our families.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection. A connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.